Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Talkers Magazine calls Jim Blasingame one of the best talk show hosts in the industry.
Now remember, I do my best work when I'm being worshipped as a god.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for being part of our day. Thanks for hanging around with me. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. Jim Morrison is our guest, ladies and gentlemen. He's here right now. Jim is the president of Small Business Exporters Association. And as you heard me say in the previous segment earlier, very early in the hour, I said that more than 90% of all exporters in America are small businesses. And almost a third of the volume of exporting in America is done by small businesses. Pretty cool. Pretty impressive. And that's the reason why we like talking to Jim Morrison. Jim, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much, Jim. It's nice to be back.
It's good to have you back.
I'll give you one more statistic to throw into that one.
All right.
You go to big states like Florida and New York.
Uh-huh.
More than half of the exporting is done by small businesses in dollar terms.
Wow. How about that? Now, let's make sure let's further break that down a little bit more. How many people would you say export who have, 10, 20, 30 employees?
83% have fewer than 10 employees.
Say that again.
83% have fewer than 10 employees. 83% of our country's exporters.
How about that? I didn't realize it had gotten that small. That is pretty darn impressive, ladies and gentlemen. I had a client years ago when I was a consultant to small business. I had a client that had about 40 employees. And in any given year, his exporting, would be anywhere from 40 to 60% of his business. And it started out as nothing. He started out selling just one or two little things at a time. And he was doing, $12, $15 million a year. And all of a sudden, I remember one year, the local economy got really bad. And had it not been for his exporting, he wouldn't have made it.
That's a story we hear very often, that this is what smooths out the differences in the business cycles between our country and other countries.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So what do we need to do to help people do a better job and to be more able to export?
Well, a lot of what we do at SBEA is try to help people out with government programs because the government is involved in international trade in a lot of different ways. I concentrate on bottlenecks quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Reasons why all of a sudden it gets hard for a small company to export. And one of them is loans. If you talk to most companies, small companies, about obtaining a loan, they say, well, it's not so hard. I just go to the bank. I get a loan. The whole question of access to capital has kind of dropped way down on the surveys of small business as being a problem. And for good reason, it's pretty easy to get a loan.
Mm-hmm.
Except if you're trying to get a loan for an export. Because if the bank sees the collateral go overseas, they think to themselves, I can't foreclose on this if the buyer doesn't pay.
That's right.
That and the fact they don't understand foreign risks very well. I mean, they have to train a staff to understand foreign risks.
Well, but let's be fair to banks. It's not what they do. I mean, it's not what they're trained for. They have a regulatory, a legal, and a fiduciary responsibility to their depositors and their shareholders.
And it's not just our banks. It's banks all over the world.
Yeah.
So countries all over the world have worked out a way to solve this problem, which is to offer the banks a government guarantee if
mm-hmm.
they write a loan for exporting.
Mm-hmm.
And if they have that guarantee or if they have some insurance on the loan, then they'll make the loan because they're not as much at risk on their own books. And the way that we do that is through SBA and through Ex-Im Bank, Export-Import mm-hmm. Bank of the U.S.
The client I was talking about used Ex-Im Bank all the time.
And I've been working on those quite a bit in our country, in our trade association has, to make them as small business friendly as we possibly can so that they can do as much help with the loans for small business exporting as they can.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the SBA came out with its statistics just a couple of days ago, and they underwrote $2 billion worth of small business exports last year.
Wow.
B with a B, billion with a B. And those are all pretty much small deals. Those $50,000 deals, it takes an awful lot of those to get up to $2 billion. And they did it with only 15 people in the field.
Wow.
That's the amazing thing. So we're trying to get more people out in the field because there are large swaths of the country that don't have access to this SBA service, and we want to make sure that everybody does. And I think it's really been an amazing performance, especially since that part of SBA receives only $4 million
mm-hmm.
in appropriations. So for $4 million, we've gotten $2.1 billion back in sales.
Hold on to that thought. I want to come back to that and when we come back right after these messages, folks. And I'm going to quote my favorite French economist and comedian along these lines right after these messages. Tony Till, stay with us. We'll be right back with Jim Morrison. Welcome back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. We're having a great visit with our good friend Jim Morrison. He's president of the Small Business Exporters Association, a very important organization. And Jim, why don't you give us your website now, please?
www.sbea.org.
You know, I gave a keynote speech on Tuesday in Raleigh, North Carolina, to about 500 incubators and incubator professionals and some small business owners and some business educators. And when I told them some of the statistics, I include your statistics in a lot of my speeches, Jim. I talked to them about what you've taught us about exporting and the value of and the importance of small business exporters to the economy. And I use your numbers and your examples, Jim, to show that the importance of small business owners. And I call them peacemakers. I call them, these are people who create peace dividends. Because, Jim, as you know, when people trade together, they don't hate each other, do they?
That's absolutely true. You make a lot of friendships down at the grassroots level in a country, and that bubbles up. You know, people remember those things, and that becomes a part of what they think about our country.
And I love quoting Frédéric Bastiat, who was the great French economist and comedian. I call him a comedian because his economic examples, the stories that he gave he was one of the first free traders. I mean, he was right out of Adam Smith's mold. But he said this, and this is such an important quote. He said, "When goods cross borders, armies don't." Isn't that great?
Yeah, that's wonderful. It's not 100% true, but it's 90% true.
No, it's in my world, it's true, Jim. Don't be messing with my world here, Jim.
Okay.
but basically, it's the way we should think about it, though, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And I also think, and you know this because we've talked about this statistic before, that our companies have to keep in mind that 96% of the world's consumers live outside the United States.
Yeah.
There's only so long that we're going to be able to subsist on this 4%. We have to look beyond our borders.
Right. That's exactly
right. Because
everybody
else looks beyond their borders.
Well, and when I think about China, when people ask me about China, I say that's 2 billion customers.
It's our fastest growing export market right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, yeah. Now we have some challenges.
Yeah.
Because we have to figure out how to get them to understand the return on investment to them. To not steal our intellectual property.
That is a very key problem. You're right.
I'm not worried about China's missiles. I'm worried about their theft of our intellectual capital.
Well, it's a problem a lot of people are worried about, and a lot of steps are being taken, but it remains a real crucial issue with the Chinese mm-hmm. right now.
But you were giving us some other information as we went to the break. Do you remember where you were?
Right. You know, I just wanted to let companies know that if they wanted to get a loan on international trade and they're finding some difficulty, that there are places they can turn. If you go beyond the million and a half or so that SBA is able to lend, And if you need it for more than 6 months, which is about the limit that SBA can do, that's when you go to Ex-Im Bank and to a commercial bank that gets its guarantees from Ex-Im Bank.
Mm-hmm.
They can go way up, and they can go all the way out to 7 years on a medium-term loan. And their rates are quite reasonable. And
how do we do that? How do we pick up the phone? I mean, it's not like they're in the Yellow Pages.
Jim. Well, you can go on their website, www.exim.gov.
Exim.gov. Right. Are they part of the Department of Commerce?
They've got a big small business portal right in the middle of the website. You take a look at that, and they provide a lot of information about what they offer to small business.
Are they part of the Department of Commerce, Jim?
Just last year, Congress got them to create a whole new small business division with small business dedicated underwriters and answering directly to the chairman of the bank. And I think that you're going to see an increasing emphasis on this over there.
Jim, are they part of the Department of Commerce?
No, they're not. They're an independent agency.
Independent agency. All right, exim.gov.
That's right.
And you can click on the small business portal, and there should be a yellow brick road there for you to follow, shouldn't there?
Yeah.
What if they joined the SBEA organization? Could those folks help?
I'm quite biased on this subject, as you might imagine, but I say yeah. We can help more than anybody because we know all this stuff really well.
That's what you need to do, folks. You need to join and support. If you'd like to learn more about being an exporter, and I certainly encourage you to do that. Everybody should be at least, and you know, Jim, I don't know if you remember, but a few years ago and for every year since, I started telling small business owners this time of year, hey, folks, get started with your exporting education and your importing education. Understand, even if you don't do anything, just learn what it takes. Understand the rudimentary steps that it takes, and for no other reason, do it so that once you actually find yourself with an opportunity in front of you to either send or receive goods overseas, that at least you're going to say, you know what? I think I know how to do that. I haven't done it so far. There hasn't been a reason to me to do it so far. But I actually now know that if I wanted to do this and I need to take advantage of this in 30 days, I know the people to call.
That's right. There's a lot of people overseas that want to buy the things that American companies make. And the margins are higher overseas. You go through the trouble to do the exporting, you get rewarded for it.
Right. And of course, the exchange rate. Is good
with the dollar down right now.
It's
you can undercut our competitors' prices. It's a great time to be exporting
for goods going out of here, ladies and gentlemen. The dollar, the lower dollar exchange rate against most other currencies is good news for exporters, isn't it?
It sure is.
Yeah. Stand by, Jim. We're going to take a quick break. It's 10 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate. Stay with us. We'll be right back. Welcome back. It's 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the Small Business Advocate, and we're visiting with our good friend Jim Morrison. Jim is the president of the Small Business Exporters Association. No one does more pound for pound for small business exporters and importers than Jim does, and we appreciate the work that you do, Jim, for small business owners.
Thank you very much.
Give us that website again, too, please.
www.sbea.org.
Folks, if you want to be an exporter, and you help importers, too, don't you, Jim?
We get those questions, too. Yeah, we work on that when we can.
Yeah. And so if you want to, especially exporting, though, folks, if you want to get involved in that, you not only need to know about Jim and his organization because of the help they can provide you, but because of the work that they do on behalf of exporters. Now, Jim, let's talk about one of the things that I know that George Bush has tried really hard to do in his term has been to create trade agreements. He's had some success, but not as much as I think as he'd like.
Well, that's very true. I was at a briefing yesterday morning where they were going through the trade agreements, and I realized that we now have trade agreements covering about 42% of America's exports. So that's mm-hmm. a pretty pretty impressive number with more in the pipeline.
There are 100-plus trade agreements around the world. How many are we actually signing party to?
I would say in the neighborhood of about 15.
Yeah, not nearly enough. And I think when we started, when Bush started his administration, I think we were a party to two.
Yeah, that's right.
So we've made progress. I don't like where we are, but Congress has held off, has held back on some of these, haven't they?
Well, that's been true. It's also a fact, I believe, that the trade agreements that we have put together and our country has put together in the last 10 years have been state of the art trade agreements. They are really cutting edge, you know, electronic commerce, electronic signatures, stuff that nobody else puts in their trade agreements, you know, but it puts us ahead of the pack.
Right, exactly. What are some of the other things that we need to know about trade agreements?
Well, the simple thing from the small business point of view is that when we get these trade agreements, transaction costs go down, and that's very important. Because it means that if you're trying to do a $50,000 sale or a $100,000 sale, and your margin is 5%, and somebody's talking about, well, if you want to sell in our country, you got to have this license, or you got to open this office, and that's going to cost you $20,000. You can't do the deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's no margin anymore.
Do trade agreements help to eliminate the graft and corruption?
Yes, they have, because they've made a lot of areas of commerce more transparent, like government procurement.
A lot of countries that you can trade with, folks, you have to have agents there, and sometimes the agents are not exactly reputable, or they may be reputable, but they're corrupt, and there's you know, graft involved, that sort of thing. Those are some of the challenges of exporting.
There are ways to deal with all those issues, and you know, it would take longer than we have on the show right now to walk you through each of them, but you can handle each of those issues.
But trade agreements kind of clean a lot of that up, don't they?
They sure do. And in the big Doha trade agreement that all the countries of the world are working on right now,
right,
is going to clean up a lot of the mess at the customs.
Is Doha
that everybody
gonna
hates.
Is Doha going to work?
I think so. I'm pretty optimistic about it. I think there's a lot of good things in that deal right now.
Are we going to be part of it?
I don't know. That's an open question. But
so
I'll tell you what,
that,
if we're not a part of it, it isn't going to happen, because we're 25% of the world's trade.
It'll be a travesty if we aren't
yeah,
part of it.
Yeah, that's right.
So what's happening at Doha?
Well, basically, there's a lot of informal conversations going on right now among the various countries in Geneva, and we're trying to push to a point where we can reopen some of the formal negotiations, but a lot of progress has been made in the last 6 weeks. I'm beginning to get pretty optimistic that we can find a deal here.
If the deal happens, what will that mean for small business exporters in America?
Again, I mean, I'm single-minded about this. I want to see transaction costs go down and opportunity costs go down, because that means more buyers are in the market and more sellers, and it means that smaller deals are profitable. That's my whole focus with trade agreements.
Do you agree with me that the more small business owners are allowed to export and do business across the water, across borders with companies, that's a peace dividend waiting to happen?
Yep, sure is. They want what we have to buy, and we want to sell it to them, and when we do that, we get to be friends with them.
And when you have people, when you have grassroots folks in all these countries who are doing business with each other, you don't hate each other, do you, when you do that?
No, because that becomes their real reference point for the United States.
Yep.
It's not something they read in the newspaper, but somebody they know.
And when you trade with small business owners, you don't trade with companies, you trade with people. And that's the beauty of it. And we need the Doha thing to work, Jim. And thank you for all the work that you're doing on that. Thanks for being here, Jim, and for all you do for small businesses, exporters and otherwise. We thank you. Jim Morrison, ladies and gentlemen, he'll be back. I will be too, but in the next hour, I'm Jim Blassingame, reminding you to always seek excellence, not perfection.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blassingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.